Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a government giving you a free house, right? But you still end up going bankrupt just trying to commute to your job.
Yeah, it's a completely wild scenario.
Right. Well, today we are doing a deep dive into South Africa's medium-term strategic framework for human settlements. Specifically, we're looking at the 2014 to 2019 blueprint.
And our mission for this deep dive is really to explore how a nation attempts to systematically break the physical and honestly the spatial legacy of apartheid through strategic housing policy.
It's such a massive undertaking. I mean, think of the country's layout, like a badly designed circuit board or, a high-stakes game of Tetris. If the blocks, like the homes, the jobs, and the schools, are placed too far apart, all the energy is just wasted traveling between them.
Exactly. When a city is fragmented by design, which South African cities historically were, that physical layout acts as this permanent, continuous tax on the people who live there.
Yeah, a literal commute tax. But looking at the source text, we do have to acknowledge a massive, undeniable success first.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, in the 20 years post-apartheid, the government delivered around 3.8 million subsidized houses. Millions of people received adequate shelter.
This is a staggering number.
It is. But then here is the pushback. If millions of people received adequate shelter, why does the document still describe the country's housing market as heavily fractured?
Well, what's fascinating here is that it comes down to a structural barrier the document calls the price cliff.
Okay, the price cliff.
Right. So think of the property market as a ladder. Those 3.8 million subsidized houses added immense value to a historically distorted system, giving millions a foothold at the very bottom rung.
Makes sense.
But the rungs right above that, they're completely missing. A massive barrier prevents Black South Africans from climbing that property ladder because they earn too much to qualify for a fully subsidized government house, but they earn too little to secure a standard mortgage from a bank.
So they fall into the gap market. They're just entirely stuck in the middle.
Exactly. And to connect this back to your Tetris analogy, location is everything. Because many of these settlements remain so far away from economic hubs, households carry that heavy burden of high transport costs we talked about.
Right.
So the goal for 2030 isn't just about providing four walls and a roof anymore. It's about integration, placing citizens in close proximity to work, health clinics, and amenities.
So if that spatial distance is literally taxing the citizens, how does the 2014 to 2019 blueprint actually propose closing that gap? Because I see some incredibly aggressive targets here.
Very aggressive, yeah.
Like delivering 1.495 million housing opportunities.
Yeah.
But the breakdown is what catches my eye. A massive chunk of that target is focused on upgrading 750,000 households in existing informal settlements rather than, just building 1.4 million brand new homes from scratch.
Right.
Why pivot to upgrading what's already there?
Because tearing down informal settlements and moving people further out to where cheap land is available, that only worsens the commute tax.
Oh, I see.
Upgrading these areas, adding water, sanitation, and basic services, preserves the social networks and the proximity to jobs those communities have already established. And then alongside that, the framework targets building 563,000 new, strategically located subsidy units.
So it's a two-pronged approach. Fix the immediate living conditions where people are while building better integrated options elsewhere.
Exactly.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Constructing new buildings is only half the battle, according to this framework. There's this massive push to eradicate a backlog of 900,000 title deeds.
Yes, the administrative side.
Right. Why is catching up on paperwork treated with the exact same urgency as pouring concrete?
Because a title deed fundamentally changes the economic nature of the shelter.
Right.
Transferring a title deed turns a basic shelter into a vital economic asset.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, without that piece of paper, you just have a place to sleep. With it, you actually have legal property.
Meaning you can leverage it for a loan or sell it to buy something closer to town.
Precisely. It allows families to actually participate in the secondary property market. That is how a population really begins to build generational wealth.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It really makes you look at the layout of your own environment differently.
It does. I highly invite you to examine your own city. How does the physical distance between neighborhoods and commercial centers dictate social mobility where you live?
Yeah, how much of a daily financial burden is created simply by the distance between where you can afford to sleep and where you're required to work?
It's a universal challenge, though the historical context in South Africa makes the stakes incredibly high.
Which leaves you with a final thought to mull over today. This document heavily stresses engaging the private sector to improve housing delivery. But how do you convince private developers, who are naturally driven by maximum profit, to prioritize and build affordable gap housing in prime, well-located economic hubs? You need them to build those missing rungs on the ladder, but the market incentives are pushing them the other way.